Hi, my name is Monica and I'm 16 years old. Today is June 8th, 2019. I'm speaking with Joanne Renner, who is my family friend. We're recording this interview in Taylor, Michigan. Oh.
Did you put the year?
Mm-hmm. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
What do I feel most gratefully in my life?
Like, grateful for?
I'm grateful that I'm alive. And then I'm really grateful because I had such wonderful parents, and I had a very wonderful husband, and I have three children. And I've been blessed with grandchildren, and love and friendship means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And that mainly, you know, people will say, oh, you know, I'm grateful if I have money and everything else. Money's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to be able to be comfortable, but you want to be surrounded with family.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I feel that way because of all the surgeries and the losses and the happy times in my life. But I am. I'm truly happy what I have today.
Yeah.
And how I came to have it.
Yeah. Can you describe one of your happiest moments or memories?
One of my very, well, I think all what my happy memories or moments are is when I gave birth to my children. And they were put into my arms the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that feeling until you become a mom. You just can't visualize it until that baby is in your hand and you go, my God, this is a miracle.
Yeah. Aww.
And I would say that's about the happiest.
Okay. Do you have a favorite memory with me?
With you?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is it?
My favorite memory with you is how you are so affectionate and loving. And you guys always refer me as to grandma. Even though I am not your grandma, it's very deep in my heart that I cherish it always.
Yeah.
Plus, you're a good person to put makeup on. You do a good job.
Thank you. Okay. What was the craziest thing that you did in high school?
I have to tell that?
Yeah.
Are we referring to when I stole a car? Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah, whatever you want. It's recording.
Oh, okay. One evening, my younger sister and I, we decided Mom and Dad was gone somewhere. I don't know where they went, but they left one of the newer cars at home. And her and I, we took our silver dollars. So if you know we had silver dollars, we're old. And each one of us took a silver dollar for gas for the car. I took my mom and dad's 59 Pontiac out of the garage, and my sister and I went joyriding. And I think we went to Daly's and Romulus. We had a really good time, and on the way back we stopped at the gas station to put just the right amount of gas in that we used. And we never gave it a thought all these years until recently. The gas station we went to was the gas station fella that my mom and dad always bought gas weekly, right on the corner.
Oh.
And whether that gentleman told my mom and dad, oh, I've seen your girls or not, I don't know. But when I drove in to the garage, I hit one of those, what are those called? the, not, it's not called a strut, but make the garage door go up and down. And it, I scratched the side of the car.
Oh.
And my mom and dad, one day they said, my mom says, hey, Walter, where did that scratch on that car come from? It was called a spring. That's what it was called,
oh,
a spring.
Okay.
And my dad says, gee, I don't know. Until today, my mother has passed away, but till she died, she never questioned any of us who stole the car or anything else. And it had to either be my baby sister or me, because my elder sister was already married.
Oh.
So it had, my mom and dad probably figured
how
it was
how old
us.
Were you?
I was not quite 15, or not quite 16, excuse me.
You were 15?
Yeah.
That's so bad.
I had a learner's permit.
Oh, yeah. I have mine right now.
Yeah.
I can get my license soon.
But you were supposed to drive with a licensed driver.
Yeah.
My baby sister is a few years younger than I am. She did not have no training.
Okay. What was the first thing you did when you turned 18?
Oh, my gosh. I was already married at 18. I got married at 17 and a half.
Oh, wow. Did you finish high school?
I did.
You guys met at Romulus?
No, I went to Romulus, he went to Flat Rock.
Oh.
And he was in the service, he was in the Air Force. He was 18 and a half and I was 17 and a half. And when we got married, and our parents, of course, back then, had to sign for us.
Yeah.
And then after that, then I finished out my school and got my high school diploma in that.
Oh.
So, but I never did go to college, and I kind of regret that.
Yeah.
I really think a person, I don't care if they're male or female, I really think they need to further their education.
I think so, too.
You know, but all I can remember is living at 18 in Dover, Delaware with my husband when he was in the Air Force. And we always had a good time because the base was always putting on picnics and everything else. And everybody was in the same boat, and we hung around together. And those moments I'll always cherish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, like, go, like, when you turned 18, did you go get, like, a crazy tattoo or, like, do something, like, wild?
No, I did not. But I do think what we did wild, the wildest thing I think we ever did was Jerry was a little over 19, I was a little over 18, and we decided to buy a convertible. And we bought an Oldsmobile. It was 50-something, I want to say 58, and it was red and white. And then all of a sudden, then the kids start coming, and I says, we got to get rid of this convertible. What if these kids jump out of it?
Oh, so, yeah, because you started having kids.
Yeah. So we had to sell our convertible because for the fear of our kids, you know, you don't think, oh, the kids will be in a car seat. But still, convertibles aren't as safe as a regular car, I don't think, for children.
What age did you guys start having kids because you were married, like, younger?
Okay, our first baby that we lost, he was born in the end of 61. And so I would have been not quite 19.
Oh, you had your first kid at 18?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have three kids, right?
Yes. Yeah. And no, really, four. The first one I lost, he was a little boy, and I had him in Dover, Delaware. Then my daughter, she's 55, and she was born in Dover, Delaware. My eldest son, he's going to be 53, and he was born in Naha, Okinawa. Yeah. And then Eric, the one that's 37, he was born in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
So I had them all over.
Yeah.
You'll have to handwrite it in so I can.
Okay. What was your year of graduation?
63. Because I finished high school, and then I was short, I think, 3 months. And so I went back to adult education and I finished out my graduation that way.
Yeah. Okay.
From Romulus High School.
That was, you think you graduated the year of JFK's assassination?
No, I did not. I was pregnant with my daughter that year.
Oh, wow.
In Dover, Delaware. And when I heard that he was assassinated, I was shopping, and it was called Grant's, like, they don't have them anymore, like Woolworths and Grant's, and like a Five and Dime or whatever they called them back then, a store, a variety store. And I can remember walking through the store, and everything went silent, and then everybody turned up the TVs in the store,
yeah.
And we were all crowded around the TVs, and it was really a solemn moment. It was almost like terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, who could imagine to kill a president, you know, and I think what everybody was is a state of shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it, like, something that was talked about for a really long time?
For a long time. Even now, if somebody will bring him up, we always think of, he was so good-looking, and his wife was so graceful.
She's so pretty.
Isn't she? I thought she was just beautiful. And then for them to even, you know, years later, their son passed away. That was very hard.
Have you heard about, like, how, like, every single person in their family besides their youngest son died by assassination? Like, every son of Joe Kennedy has all died by assassination besides
that's what
the
I
youngest.
Heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Because
of
think
the Kennedy
the son,
curse.
they call it that.
Yeah.
It's like, the Kennedy curse.
Yeah.
Their son, if I'm not mistaken, he was in an airplane when he crashed.
I'm not sure. We talked about it one day. I've only really like
Martin Martha Vineyards is. I want to say that's what happened to him.
Maybe.
I'm not sure if he was flying the plane.
I really don't know.
Yeah, it's.
Been,
but I can remember him. At the funeral, how dressed he was and how he saluted his father at the funeral.
Yeah.
And it's it was very heartbreaking. It's I think that was about the most devastating,
like, you've seen the country be.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It just you just can't imagine something like that happening.
Do you think that majority of, like, American people, like, liked him? Or do you think that it was, like, half and half? Because, like, people don't really love Donald Trump?
No, I think they really liked him.
You think so?
I really do. I want to say he was one of the better presidents that we have.
Yeah.
I'm not saying any particular one is bad.
Yeah.
But, When he spoke, you listened.
Mm-hmm.
You were kind of like drawn into his words. Nowadays, when the president or somebody speaks, you just about know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
And you don't hang on to every word they say. But
yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of all like repetitive from other people.
But John F. K. He was awesome. Like I says, everybody says, oh my God, what a handsome man. How could anybody do this? And, you know, and then to see these children at the funeral and how he was brought through, you know, with all, you know, through the streets for the Americans. And of course, they were all there. Mm-hmm. The turnout, I swear, the whole country.
Like someone like did that in front of his, like in front of not just his kids, but everybody's kids.
Exactly.
Everybody's like teenagers. Like that's like scarring, you know?
I mean, and here his wife, she was right there
yeah.
with him.
Yeah.
And it is
really sad.
Yeah. Very, very sad. We lost a good president.
Was he your favorite president, or do you have someone like...
No, he was my favorite. He was my favorite by
he's
all.
He's my favorite, too.
Yeah, he's my favorite by all. He, for some reason, what he said, you always felt he was going to follow through or do his darndest to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, you really didn't hear too many harsh words from him or anything else, and he just, you know, like, pledged to the people and everything else. He's going to do his best, and everybody, you know, would, and everybody would get together, and...
Yeah.
But, very nice.
What number president are we on? 45, right? 46?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not really sure.
Because he was the 35th, but I don't know how many...
He was the 35th. Okay.
I think Lyndon B. Johnson was after him.
Don't we have 45 or 47?
We have somewhere in there.
This is terrible. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know what Mr. Trump is. Oh.
Well.
That's bad.
But in between.
I think what it is he doesn't make a very good impression on me to single him out, like we
yeah.
singled John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Do you have, like, okay, hold on. What did you think about the whole scandal with Richard Nixon? Like,
Watergate.
The Watergate? Yeah.
What did I think about Watergate? To begin with, I did not think that our nation would get into stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're brought in as a president, you don't think about scandals or anything else. And you just, I don't know how to put it into words. You're just amazed and shocked and you're going, well, how could this upstanding person that's guiding us in this world
yeah.
be involved with all of this?
Yeah.
And that's hard to...
Like, wrap your mind around?
Exactly. You just... It was amazing. It was probably about... The first time I actually really paid attention, you know, and really shocked over this.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, now, you know, they'll say about the president, you know, oh, he's involved with Russia and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, nowadays, it probably is.
Yeah.
But I'm not the one to say he is. So... I'll just leave it that.
But JFK had his scandals.
He did, with his women and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yes. But they seem to be kind of minor compared to what's all going on now.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I don't think it was, like, the biggest deal. And, people, like, hate on him now for it. But I'm like... Like, whatever. Like, it was so long ago. Like, who cares? Like, I don't think...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What shows up to me is he was such a solid person.
Yeah.
And so he veered off a little. But technically he was a stand-up guy.
Yeah. Okay, we're going on the next subject. What year did you get married, and how long were you married for?
I got married in 1961, and I was married for 58 years.
Now he was in the Air Force, right?
Yes, he was.
Yes, so you went everywhere with him.
Not everywhere, but I went a lot of places with him.
Like, do you think you've seen all of the United States?
Have I seen all the United... No, I wouldn't say I've seen all of them. I counted one time. I've seen a lot of states.
Yeah.
I would say maybe about half of them.
Yeah.
Is what I've seen. But as for, like, out of the country, he was sent to Vietnam
Oh, he was in Vietnam?
Yes. What my husband did is he flew one C-130s.
Yeah.
And he would bring all the cargo and everything to Vietnam that the soldiers would need. And then he would have to bring back all our soldiers that passed away.
Oh.
And they were put in body bags. And of course, you know, Vietnam, and we were in Okinawa, and that it's so hot there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people know that body bags have releases on them for the air. When the body bag blows up, and the odor was terrible. And I can remember my husband saying on several occasions when he got back to Okinawa, they would have to take and park the aircraft anywhere from a week to 1 month at the end of the runways.
With the bodies in them?
No, to air out the
smell.
The smell of, you know, and well, the soldiers, you know, they didn't find the soldiers. They tried to find them immediately, but, you know, they went and picked up, you know,
who they saw.
Yeah.
So, did you ever live in a different country?
In Okinawa. I lived in, basically, that was the only country I lived in. Now, Jerry was always, like, they called it TDY, and he would go, like, to France, to Germany. I mean, he's been to Switzerland and Vietnam and Japan and Okinawa and Wake Island, and I don't know. He's been in the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
He brought me back some nice wood carvings from the Philippines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he really, for a young man, he sure did see the world.
Yeah.
And which is nice.
How long was he in the Air Force?
26 and a half years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 26 and a half years. And then when he got out and he started being a reservist, then he worked for private airlines, like they were cargo airlines, like Zantop and Murray Air and Connie Coletta and I don't know how many. He worked for several.
Yeah.
And he would, you know, take cargo all over, and I mean he's been like to Dubai and
Dubai.
Yeah. He was there. He was in Afghanistan, you know, just to drop loads off. And but he got to see the country like you and I would probably never get to see.
Yeah.
And there were stories he would tell us, and then there were stories he wanted to forget.
Yeah.
So it was kind of...
Do you think that he, like, had a, like, really strong passion for what he did in the Air Force?
Air Force and in civilian life, being a pilot. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You guys have... Do you still have the plane in your garage?
No. I just sold that aircraft that a little four-seater Stinson about 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So it went to a good home, and the man is refurbishing it. His name is Dave, and in fact, he came by and picked up some more manuals and books last week for me. So,
did you guys build that plane together? Did you buy
it? No, he bought that in Texas and flew it home.
Oh.
It was a four-seater. He flew it home on a Suzuki battery. That was what was in the airplane. A Suzuki battery. Can you believe that?
Oh,
and I said, why didn't you change the battery? Oh, well, it was working. And I'm going, okay, you know. But we did rent a lot of aircrafts, you know, from Groziel, and him and I got to fly a lot, and his friends all had airplanes, and you know, when you come down to an airport, especially in the evening, the lights are just awesome.
Yeah.
Because everything is dark except you can see all these lights, and it looks like a city, and you get to go down there, and you're going, oh my gosh, you know, and people just hop on airplanes and go and come, and they don't enjoy the views.
Yeah.
But they're you know, the clouds are different, you know, the sky, everything. And I'm glad to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I probably would have never been in an airplane.
Yeah, you don't think, I don't think so,
because I don't know anybody in my family before my husband that was in the military.
Oh, he started like the trend?
Yeah, none of my family was in the military. Now on his side, his father was in the Marines.
Yeah.
You know.
For how long?
His dad, how long was his dad in the Marines? His dad must have been like 8 or 10 years in the Marines.
Oh.
And then he ended up being a fire chief at Groziel.
Fire station?
Yeah, fire station. I had to think of it.
Yeah.
At the airport there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was nice. You know.
Do you ever think about, like when you had your kids and he was still in the Air Force, like, did you still see him every day? Or, like, was it hard being, like, alone?
It was hard being alone.
Yeah.
He would go anywhere from a week to 30, sometimes 90 days away at a time. And it was hard, especially when I was in Okinawa.
Yeah.
Because technically, I didn't know all the language, a few words, just to get me by.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you got on base, that was so much different. But we lived off base on the economy, so. He was sorely missed.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people say, oh, I got to go home because I have a honey to-do list. Well, our honey to-do list was try to get the family together and do things together instead of always doing work for the house or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, what's your ethnicity?
I'm Polish. My parents both were Polish, and my grandparents and their parents, they came over on a ship from Poland, and they settled in Detroit, and that's how, in fact, they settled in Hamtramck.
Oh, wow.
And that's back years ago, that's where mainly all the Polish people settled.
Oh, really?
Was in Hamtramck. That's why when it's Fat Tuesday, everybody goes to Hamtramck, you know, for donuts.
Yeah.
All these punchkis. They just want these nice filled punchkis. And same thing with the pierogi. If you wanted anything Polish, you'd go to Hamtramck and buy it. You'd go to a meat market and buy it there.
Did you speak Polish?
No, I did not.
Did your parents?
Yes, my parents did.
They didn't teach you?
No, they did not. And it was because they could argue or talk about us or talk about the family, and we did not know.
So what was your maiden last name?
Guzik.
Oh, yeah.
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 G-U-Z-I-K. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And my mom's was Malecki.
Those are pretty last names.
Well, I don't know how pretty they are, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think the best years of your life were?
The best years of my life. Well, I have to say when I became a grandmother.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because I had all these little bodies to love and love on me and squeeze to death, and
yeah.
I enjoyed each and every one of them, which I still do, even though my kids are older.
Yeah.
And I only have two great grandchildren. They could give me more, but they didn't. That's all I have, so I have to be thankful for that many.
Yeah.
But I want to say it was my grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think by then you're settled down, and you raised your kids, and you always, I think you were stricter on your children. Then when the grandkids come, you're so much lenient, and you sit back and you enjoy.
Like you have fun with them.
And you have fun with them. Regardless if they say, hey, Boosha, get on the floor with me and do exercises. And my little Haley, every time she sees me, we're going to do leg exercises, Grandma. And you know, this grandma's 75. So I get down there and do it. And then after a while, I'll say, hey, you got your other grandma. Get her down here.
Oh, my gosh. But when you were, since you were married so young, do you ever think that you didn't enjoy your,
My teenage
life. You didn't
life.
Have your phases and your reckless stuff besides stealing a car.
I don't think that ever bothered me. Back then, I really don't think the teenagers got into very much trouble as they do now.
Yeah, probably.
I don't remember any of my friends or my husband's friends or nobody really that would say, hey, let's go on some point and sit there and drink beers or anything. I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, like everybody says, oh, we smoked. Well, when did you smoke? I didn't ever see anybody smoke. I never smoked.
Yeah. You've never done any drugs in your life?
No.
Oh, wow.
Never got a ticket. Never got a ticket, never had an accident. Nope.
Aww.
Nope. But, I don't think I missed out.
Yeah. So do you, love, the life that you live? Like, do you love the things that you lived through and, the experiences and, the places you, seen and everything?
I do. Oh, yeah, I can't say I loved it all.
Yeah.
I mean, there were little mountains and hills you had to crawl over.
Yeah, but you were born in a really, important time of history, from the time where you were, old enough to remember to now.
Yes.
So many things have changed that,
yes.
You could, tell so many different stories from different sides of a million different things that happened.
Well, I try.
There's the Cold War and all that we didn't even really talk about, but
exactly.
The fall of the Berlin Wall, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And all those things, but where were you when all this was happening? Were you still on base with Jerry?
I was still on base with Jerry, just like in Detroit, Michigan. When they had all the rioting in the 60s and that.
Oh, wow.
We were in Okinawa.
We didn't know
what a riot was.
Yeah.
You know? The only thing I knew was there was a parade going down in front of my house in Okinawa. And I'm sitting out there with my daughter and I'm showing her. And my neighbor comes up to me and they says, what are you doing, Joanne? I said, oh, we're watching this parade. And Jim next door grabbed me and he said, Joanne, to come into our apartment, and then they had to tell me. I was standing there watching a parade. The communists were walking through with their bands on their arms.
Yeah.
Didn't even know. That's how naive I was. Yeah. Didn't even know.
So you were watching like
something shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who would think they would be marching, you know, particularly on that street, because there was a high school in the hill right above where they were, and were they doing it to recruit the students? I don't know.
What is your opinion or, like, view on communism and, like, all the past, like, problems that, like, we've experienced with other countries being communist?
The only thing I can really say is I wouldn't want to live through a dictatorship like that.
Yeah.
Having somebody tell me what to do, how to dress, how to cut your hair.
Yeah.
And you're only
your
allowed...
Your money, too. Like, everything is taken, collected, and then redistributed evenly. It's not fair to the people who worked hard for it.
It is. And then you were allowed to only buy so much food.
Yeah.
And what comes to my mind is so much bread. That's what I think in my mind.
Yeah. And it really just isn't fair to, like...
It wasn't.
It's cool for people who are struggling. Like, oh, I have... Like, I get everything equal than everyone else. Like, I'm not struggling anymore. But people who are rich and worked for it.
And they worked very hard.
Yeah.
And it was taken away from them.
Yeah.
And I don't...
You spent all those years in college and did all these things to be successful, and you still, like, can't have your own money.
Exactly.
Like, that you were supposed to earn.
And I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're so, like, brainwashed about it that they, like, they enjoy it.
That's why I'm saying, even about this parade, were they walking through this one particular street to brainwash maybe these high school students?
I'm not sure.
See? And all these high school students had one certain uniform to wear.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
It was always puzzling to me, which I think that's what it really was.
Yeah.
But when I first got there, I didn't know. And I was only over there a couple of months when that happened. So I kind of grew up while I was there for those couple years.
Yeah. How do you think that the world changed from, like, the time you were a child to now? Like, because you've seen, like, a lot and lived through a lot. So what do you think, like, we got worse at or better at, or is just different?
Not only is it different.
Yeah.
I think from the time I can remember till now, it's much worse.
Yeah.
It just seems like everything's falling apart. I can remember when my mom would say, I'm not going to see this, but you kids will. We're going to have fires and floods. And I said, well, we're going to have these fires and floods. And what do?
Yeah.
Like California and everything.
Their fires were so bad.
They're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the flooding now. In the middle of the United States, we have flooding.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think so. You would basically think on the outer parts where all the water and that is. But that isn't so.
Yeah. Well, you also live downriver. So, like, all of that happens more. But, like, it floods when I'm, like in little areas, because, like, potholes and stuff will fill really deep.
Don't they, though? Yes.
Yeah. And, like, wouldn't say that's a flood, but, like, it is, like... bad, you know,
it's
like bad to, like, drive through, and shouldn't be that many issues.
I mean, look at, you don't even know, is it a puddle or did the road cave in?
Yeah.
And there are some sections that the road fell through, and it would swallow up a car.
Yeah.
I mean, that just happened a couple months ago in Detroit.
Like the animals are all endangered or extinct. That like
they are.
Yeah, and like there's so many things about like people are hunting so much and like illegally like poaching, and no one's really like going out there to like protect, and our oceans are like disgusting, and that's why I use paper straws and like bamboo straws and metal straws. I don't use plastic things anymore
because everybody throws their garbage in these waters.
Yeah, like the ocean, there's a company that's like, it's called like 4Ocean, and they go and clean things, and like their before and after pictures, like it's like miles of just plastic things, like to-go boxes, styrofoam cups, like pops, like Gatorades, everything. And I'm like, the world is not like, aquatic life will not be able to survive.
Any of that plastic. I can remember seeing on the news not too long ago how all this water kind of overflowed, you know, because of the flooding and everything else. And once it started draining, I even seen blue tarps that was in the water that washed above, you know, on the shores.
Yeah. Do you know what the Mariana Trench is, like the deepest part of the ocean that we know about?
Yes.
They found plastic in it.
Now that, I'm surprised.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's so far down the ocean. Like, we learned about it when I was in 8th grade. And, like, everything, like, I just would never imagine that, like, the world would get so bad. Like,
so bad.
From 8th grade to my sophomore year.
And, you know, we have recycling now. And you think that would help.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, I don't think.
No one even recycles, like...
Well, I heard a piece on the news a couple of days ago, and I was very shocked, because Ford's...
Oh, Julian!
Almost done, kid. Ford's company for the cars, they announced that they use our plastic bottles, 300 of those bottles, empty bottles, plastic bottles, to go in every Ford model they make. Every car.
Oh, wow.
And I'd like to know where they collect them for them. I would throw all mine in there.
Yeah. Probably from the ocean or from recycling.
I don't know where they are.
Like
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I says at least they're helping the world a little bit. And when you say about the straws and that.
Yeah.
People laugh at us.
Yeah, but there's animals choking on straws because they're transparent.
Look at those plastic, how they used to put the pop cans, the six pop cans, or
eight,
in that
the rings around them.
And, my God, a fish could even go through there. Or a turtle or something could get stuck.
And even eating that, I saw that this whale washed up somewhere on the shore, and it was like a Facebook post, and that... It was cut open, and there was 3 tons of trash in its stomach, like plastic and things like that. Like, it's becoming like ridiculous, and I don't know, like, there's definitely like eco-friendly things people can use in like substitution for like dangerous things, and like our atmosphere, even like the gases and all of that are just like horrible. Like, everything is really going downhill. But
it is going downhill.
I just don't know if it was like that when you were a kid.
Put it this way, if it was never announced.
Oh, wow.
But I think our air pollution and everything was so much better than it is today. I mean, we have so many cars, trucks, we have so many factories. You know, every bit like that. I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
Plus my truth.
It's okay. We can end it here. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm glad you had me.
Okay.